Everyone's got a few Iggy's laying around thinking, oh gosh, really? Didn't get the Zion. I got the Iggy.
I'll swallow them up. Shoot me an email or a text. I'm buying Iggy's left and right now.
There we go. There's our tag.
Yep.
That's our clickbait. Buying Iggy's.
Welcome to Breaker Culture Weekly. The guys from BreakerCulture.com help pull back the curtains and give you insight into the hobby. Sit back and enjoy interviews, product breakdowns, and hobby analysis so you can get your edge in the marketplace. And now, to the show.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Ty from Breaker Culture, and this is episode 93 of Breaker Culture Weekly. Thank you so much for joining. Before we dive into the interview today, I want to just wish you and your family and your friends an incredible July 4th holiday weekend. You know, this is going to be probably one of the more unique July 4th weekends and breaks that you have, obviously, with everything going on across the world and all the little nuances you got to pay attention to with social distancing and a mask. And I hope you're doing your best to follow those rules. But we tend to forget all the great freedoms that we do have in America. And it's a great time to celebrate that, right? I'm so proud to be in America and American. And I mean, look, we have a sports card podcast, right? We can do what we want. Have the freedom to talk about what we want, and that is an amazing privilege. So anyway, hope you have an incredible time. Stay safe, blowing up fireworks. It's banned in my county here, so we can't do it, but hopefully you get a chance to go do some yourself or go watch some great shows. But anyway, today I have another great guest. So you probably heard him. He's been on a couple shows the last few weeks across the hobby. A gentleman named Scott over at Star Stock. Look, I've been talking to Scott for months now about everything going on over at Star Stock, and they're doing some groundbreaking things at Star Stock. And I truly believe that they are building the platform that could potentially get a majority of the frustrations and the overall idiocy of eBay. They could get the people that sell over there over to their platform, because they're building a platform that makes sense for sports card collectors, sports card investors, and all the like. So today we don't necessarily go into, you know, the origin story. You know, you can go listen to some of the other podcasts that I've interviewed Scott for that. I just kick back and chat with him and get to know his taste in the sports card world. Get to know kind of what he thinks about, you know, the baseball season, basketball season. A little bit about what's happening behind the scenes at Star Stock. We talk just about the ultimate vision, right? What is it going to look like if everything goes right? And it's exciting, right? Scott is a knowledgeable guy when it comes to sports and when it comes to sports cards. And it's really good to hear that, because it gives you somewhat of a peace of mind knowing that, you know, they're building something that is going to probably satisfy a lot of what we're looking for. And look, they're doing a great job just grabbing feedback from all of us and continuing to enhance the platform. So I've been selling on it for about a month now. And you'll hear me mention that I sent a bunch of graded cards over there. And I did. And I'm selling them for prices that are higher than eBay. I'm selling them in a way that is extremely easy. And look, I'm satisfied, and I'm going to be sending more cards into my Star Stock repository. So anyway, enjoy the conversation with Scott and have yourself an amazing holiday. See you. Scott, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing good. Had a little lunchtime run with my boys in the 95-degree heat, Kansas City. It's been a good day.
That's a great. That's the way to do it. That's a good lunch break.
That's right. My boys are like, and my oldest is 12. My second one is 10, just turned 10. And they're like, really? We had to do it in the middle of the day? And I'm like, guys, you don't understand. Like, getting to that sweat, it's so much easier. Pays off.
Yeah, you got to start training them at a young age, right?
That's right. Well, man, you have been around the block. There's been a lot of momentum, a lot of buzz about Star Stock. I'm excited to chat about kind of what's going on over there today. You're how close are you to the processing room
for all the
I'm in one room, there's another room in between us, and then we have the processing room, and so should be enough distance where you don't hear any of the noise, but who knows.
I picture this room with a bunch of little elves and they're like processing cards all day.
That's exactly what it is. Yep, that's it.
You tapped into the elf community.
It's tough to find them, but yeah, we have a connect there, and no, they're great, and so we're getting tons of cards. It's really exciting, and so we're just literally around the clock trying to get them up as soon as possible.
Oh my goodness, we'll get into that here in a little bit, because I'm very curious about that. You've been getting just a crazy load of cards, and the turnaround times I'm really curious to talk about. But first off, you and I both were just chatting about this, the Zion Williamson picture. Holy crap, does he look ripped and ready to go or what?
I'm so ready for basketball. He looks unbelievable. Like, I'm just so excited. It's tough to imagine him being more of being in better athletic shape than he was before, but it sure looks like he is from those photos.
No doubt. Yeah, the one I'm looking at, he's in the gym. He's got a mask on, but he looks like he has David Robinson arms. You know, it's like ridiculously chiseled.
I just can't wait to watch him dunk again. The news kind of leading up to the playoffs now. They announced like the NBA 2K covers yesterday, I think.
I saw
so
that.
That's got me buzzing a little bit. Yeah, it's all exciting.
For sure. I saw all the Twitter buzz around Zion. Wow, he played 20 games, but Ja Morant played an entire season. He wasn't even in the top three.
Yeah.
There's always going to be haters.
Of course. Who else do you want on the cover? I haven't bought 2K in a few years. I'm thinking about buying that one just to have it, you know? It's kind of a collectible on its own.
It's like the Jordan Wheaties box.
Exactly. Yeah. and then the third athlete they announced this morning was it's going to be Kobe.
Oh, so for the Mamba edition. I saw that.
Yeah. Okay. So that would be pretty cool as well.
I feel like it's the Mamba edition. Like, did you have another choice? Like,
it's yeah. I mean, they should lock in the Mamba edition. Do they do it every year? Is that how it works, or is this the first one? Or
that's a good question. I don't know enough about that world to know.
It's a great idea. Yeah, like I think those are pretty cool. I'm going to consider buying one of the Zions and one of the Kobe's just to have. I think it's pretty cool.
I would agree. Let's talk about the NBA real quick, right? Because that's obviously let me step back. Are you more excited about the NBA starting or the baseball season starting the week before? What's got you more stoked about sports?
Both are so exciting. I'm a basketball guy. Like, yeah. I'm a bigger basketball fan than I am baseball. So I'd have to say that, but just this 60 game season is so intriguing to me. I'm just so excited to see it. I'm going to watch every Yankee game. I'm just really excited about it. For a few years now, I feel like most baseball fans have felt, you know, it would be ideal if they had a few less games. Just make each game count more. Just make it more exciting to watch. And so I'm pumped for it. Really hoping that my Yankees stay healthy. You know, a couple bad injuries and you're basically done. It's going to be fun to watch. And I hope the MLB can learn something from it and be open to potentially changing their schedule moving forward if it's a success.
For sure. Yeah, that is going to be really interesting to watch, because if it does have this, you know, kind of this pent up excitement and every game matters more, like, you would think they're going to change something. Right. Cause they're back to the drawing board at the end of next year. Is that right? I think they have to renegotiate the agreement. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's exciting. I can't wait. So are you a lifelong Yankees guy? Cause I know you're in New York, but
in New York. Yeah. I'm a New York fan all around. Yankees, okay. Giants, Knicks, not as into hockey, but you know, I support the Rangers. Yankees, I've been lucky to be supporting them. Giants have been kind of a roller coaster experience, and the Knicks are just about as low as could possibly be. So,
yeah, no kidding. Gosh, who do you got for the Knicks right now to chase? I mean, Knox was the big thing 2 years ago, and then you got RJ Barrett, but
I think, like, you know, I'm still bullish on Barrett, and so I think that you can actually get his cards at good prices right now. because he's not being sold on the Ja Morant kind of or Zion price. I'm not saying that he's going to be as good as Ja, but I'm hoping that he's certainly, you know, close to that level. One guy who I really like is Iggy Brasdenkis. I really, really like him. He's super cheap, really cheap, and unbelievably talented. Watched a bunch of his games at Michigan and just like really liked him. I was really hyped on that draft pick.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a few Iggies laying around thinking, oh gosh, really? Didn't get the Zion. I got the Iggy.
I'll swallow them up. Shoot me an email or a text. I'm buying Iggies left and right now.
There we go. There's our tag. Yeah. That's our clickbait. Buying Iggies.
Come find me. Yep.
That's right. So if you had $10K to spend, invest, whatever you want to say, in Danny Dimes for the Giants, Jason Dominguez for the Yankees, or RJ Barrett for the Knicks, who do you go with?
That's a great question. I would probably, so my strategy with Dominguez would be I'd put some money aside for him and I would wait maybe a year. Mm-hmm. I don't really know baseball as well, but I don't think he's going to be in the major leagues for a couple of years at least, right?
Yeah.
And so I would probably put aside a couple $1,000 and buy up Dominguez in like a year or two when there's new rookies out. And the hype, you know, we're on to Bowman 21 or 22 and the hype is down a little bit.
Yep.
I'd put that aside by him then. I'm hoping he's going to be good. I don't know. I have a tough time prospecting baseball players. And then I would probably put, so 2 in Dominguez, let's say 5 into Danny Dimes. I'm a big believer and 3 into RJ. I'm a big believer in RJ as well.
Okay. Interesting. The fact that you went half your money into football says a lot. That's impressive. I think everyone wants to hear that. Actually, funny you mentioned that, right? Because we were having a conversation on Discord the other day with a group, and someone mentioned how fun it could be. Actually, there's a gentleman named Ziggy No. He said, how fun is it going to be if Star Stock continues the momentum heading into football season and you truly can trade on Sunday afternoons, trade the football players like you do a stock, you know, essentially.
That's the vision right there. I really think that the DFS world, the fantasy world, and the sports card world over the next, you know, 2-5 years are really going to start to merge and combine a little bit more than we see right now. Already seeing a lot of, you know, fantasy players, you know, get into sports cards, which is actually kind of how I got back into it about a year and a half ago. And so, you know, that's really the vision there is you sit down on a Sunday and you pick up some players in the morning, and as they're playing throughout the game, they score a touchdown, you flip them. And so that's great to hear that, you know, some of our early customers and users. I recognized that name actually from someone when I was sorting through a box that got shipped here. And so it's good to hear that we're on the same page there.
There you go. No, I think it's a great vision. Absolutely. So, okay, so let's talk. So we got basketball, right? So what are you going to be looking for the most with the NBA season starting? I mean, obviously we're going to be paying attention to Zion. We got the rookies, but what's got you like the 2 or 3 things you're going to be closely watching?
That's a good question. Would you say sports cards wise or just generally?
I don't think it's just generally, right? I think it probably parlays into sports cards pretty quickly, but
well, I'm curious to see how the Lakers look. I'm one of those guys. I love LeBron, and so typically, well, I guess the Knicks have never really competed for a title in my lifetime, and so I've been forced to kind of root for players instead when it comes to playoff time, and especially after watching the Jordan documentary, I just would love to see LeBron win a title. And so I'll be watching a bunch of his games closely, but then I think the race between the Pelicans, the Grizzlies for that 8th spot, that's going to be good fun. And so hoping that it comes down to those two. And I think one of the first games back is, Zion versus Ja. I think it's August 1st. I might be wrong though.
That sounds right. It's right around that day. Yeah. I'm telling you, here's my dark horse. I think San Antonio slips in and kicks New Orleans and Memphis out.
Wow.
Lonnie Walker is going to go crazy, and the Spurs are going to take the 8th spot.
Wow. Well, I love the Lonnie Walker call. I have some of his stuff. He was one of my buys at the beginning of the year. And he's kind of just kind of been in cruise control. His price hasn't moved all that much, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's so athletic, so talented.
That's it. Yeah.
So you think Pop is just quarantining right now, just working on the X's and the O's, and they're going to come back better than ever?
Oh, he has broken down every team. He's found their weaknesses. He's ready to go. He's not even talking politics anymore. He's worrying about basketball.
That's actually kind of my take for the Celtics. I think I have a feeling the Celtics might come out of the East. Just feel like they've been so close the past few years. And I kind of think similarly to Pop, that Brad Stevens is just in a basement somewhere, just working on all this. And then they have all these young guys. And so I just think that if some of the older veterans are affected by this time off, I don't know if they are or aren't, but I just think that it's not going to affect Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and some of these other young guys that they have.
For sure. Yeah, no, I think Brad Stevens is the man over there. I think you're right. Russell Crowe, beautiful mind in someone's basement over there.
Exactly. Yep.
Speaking of Tatum, my gosh. I mean, people are talking, attention's kind of over here, but on Zion and the Jaws, but holy crap, he has exploded. I mean, like 3x in 4 months. It's unreal to see his prices.
It's crazy. There's a few players that, I mean, it's so amazing because the hobby is so close knit, right? And so once a player really picks up a little bit of steam and the Instagram posts start going around and, people start talking about him on the podcasts, it just takes on a life of its own. I mean, Jason Tatum's one of them. Shea is another guy, and Michael Porter Jr. And some people that, one person that I thought was so interesting. I was really high on Kevin Porter Jr. before the season. I think he's really talented. But once the word got out there that he has a lot of potential, he started trading at prices of like a player that's already, pretty good. And I feel like he's not quite there yet.
Right.
But just the hype takes on a life of its own.
Agreed. No, you're exactly right. The problem with Kevin Porter in my mind is that he's in stinking Cleveland, man.
It's tough.
It's so tough. Like, Colin Sexton should be worth more than he is, but he's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right? It's just
Garland's pretty good, too. They have a few young, young good players there.
They do. Yeah. They do.
For some reason, it just doesn't seem like they have a path to going anywhere in the next few years. Just, I don't know.
For sure. Yeah, I was going to bring up Shea Gilgeous-Alexander because he's on your front page. And I don't know if that's the feature ones. I noticed Daniel Jones in there, and I thought, did you purposely make sure he was featured?
No, but I do like to see my guy DJ up there on the front. We're selling a lot of both of those guys, actually. Shays are just flying. We're getting, we'll get a bunch submitted at a time. We'll get them into the system. And at the end of the day, we'll see that, most of them already sold. Those are definitely good cards to be selling right now. Everyone wants to invest in some Shea. I don't blame him. He's really, really good.
No doubt. Well, I mean, look, June 7th, I'm looking at your chart here. I mean, he was selling at 14 bucks. I mean, he's selling for 34 bucks now. 3 weeks later.
Crazy.
For his Optic Rated Rookie base card.
It's crazy. And we have the eBay sales in there too, and it's pretty similar on that end, just in terms of that growth from looks like 950 up until about 33. Wild.
Picking up steam.
I mean, he's a good choice to buy before the playoffs. You know, he's going to get a lot of usage on that team.
Yep.
And they're going to need him to put up 20 plus points if they want to win almost any game.
For sure. I mean, he benefited so much from Chris Paul. Like, people underestimate how important that was for him, for his growth.
I totally agree. Yeah. Take a lot of the weight off his shoulders.
Yeah.
He's just such a good person to learn from, right? CP will eventually move on. I'd honestly like to see CP come to the Knicks.
Yep. RJ could use that for sure.
Yep. I'd like to see him come to the Knicks. Then maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but transfer over into more of a front office position. That's kind of That's kind of my thoughts on CP right now. We need to get him to New York.
There you go. Take the Jason Kidd approach. Play for a year or two, then do like player coach, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they need. That's what
you got me pulling up the marketplace because you mentioned that. And so I'm scrolling down as well, and I see Nikola Jokic. Uh-huh. So he's another one that lost a lot of weight. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
Even crazier than Zion's. I mean, like, he looks like a whole other person. If you click on his Star Stock page, and so you go to his Prism card, which is on the front of our market, and then if you click on his player page, which basically shows you all of his cards and shows you his player association photo, he looks like a different person. Like, you can see the weight in this photo, and if you compared it to the new one that came out, he lost way more than Zion did.
For sure. Well, I mean, if you go back to his 15-16 cards, right? And he's looking like he did in 15-16.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, look at this. You can
Prism select. Yeah.
He looks very skinny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, he got COVID-19 too, didn't he?
I don't know.
Maybe he did. For some reason, I thought he did. I saw the alert yesterday that said he is going to make it out to Orlando. So I'm guessing that was in reference to his, him having COVID-19. So.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. We could dig around the site all day.
Yeah. But, we could do the whole podcast just talking through basketball picks for this upcoming playoffs. That's for sure.
That's right. That's right. That's part two. Come on. We can't get ahead of ourselves here.
All right. Next one.
That's right. Well, it's so funny. Like a couple episodes ago, I did a guy I think he should go by, and that was Kevin Durant. And he was at 60, and the dude shot up to 100 already.
Crazy. Well, also Gary V tweeted about it too.
Oh, did he?
And so that sent the card up and then back down a little bit on our site. I think we saw it went from 40 all the way up into, I want to say, like 90 bucks.
Yeah,
and 90. Then back down to 60.
Well, Gary V has a bad rap in the hobby for copy and stuff that I do. So we'll have to
he's a big listener of the pod.
Yeah, I know. A lot of feedback from him. Anyway, all right. So let's shift real quick and talk a little bit about baseball. So you and I both agree that the 60-game season is going to be – it could be really, really good for the hobby. I guess first off, do you think they're going to end up playing? Like, does your gut say they're going to have this season?
Baseball, for sure.
Okay.
So if we recorded this podcast, I think it was the beginning of last week, I was really nervous about basketball and football.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a lot better about basketball ever since they put out the schedule. It kind of just legitimized it. It's like, all right, whether you're in or you're out, like, we have a schedule now. And so we're playing.
Right.
I was really relieved to see that. I'm still nervous about football. We'll see. Hopefully, we have a couple months, but you hear the stories from spring practices with college football, and obviously just with the virus getting worse and all across the country now, it seems like, I'm nervous about it. The rosters are so big, the amount of coaches and trainers that it takes, to have on the sideline. That's really what makes me nervous. But, I think baseball is pretty, I wouldn't say low risk, but lower risk than those other two sports.
I would agree. My only argument for football is, like, in the college world, they have to have college football. Like, that drives a majority of funding for these schools. And if they lose football for the year, like, you're going to see so many programs shut down. Like, all that to say, I think they're going to do whatever it takes to play football.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, they're football programs, right? They also do some teaching and on the sides of education stuff, but
quote tutoring.
Yeah. They're going to try to play.
Yeah. No. If college plays, NFL is going to play, right? And I think NFL is going to probably learn a lot from what the NBA and MLB do. They'll probably adjust certain things and figure out.
Have you seen the prototypes for their helmets?
Yeah.
Those look pretty crazy.
They do. They look
pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like Marvel. Something come out of a Marvel movie.
Right.
Yeah. But so what are you kind of looking for the most in baseball then? So, I mean,
So baseball is going to be exciting because mm-hmm. the pricing movement, you'd think, like on a day-to-day basis should be, I mean, I guess it should be three times the amount as it was on a regular season, right? Because there's about a third the amount of games. And so I'm really excited about that. I'm hoping that we can really see card prices move on a game-to-game basis, right? Like, think about the MVP chase for this. 60 games. They normally finish 60 games in, what, 2.5 months, basically?
Yeah.
And so you get on one hot streak for a month or a month and a half, and you can really run away with things. So I think it's just going to be so intriguing. I can't wait to, you know, I'm already starting to pick up some players in preparation. I'm excited to trade them, see how it goes. I'm
not as, a couple names,
you know, I'm picking up some big guys. I'm not as experienced of a trader in baseball. I bought some Juan Soto's on the site last night, I think. I've been buying up some Otani's as well. Some of the bigger guys that I just think once baseball comes back and we're able to watch the games, their prices might go up. And then also Gleyber Torres, because he's my favorite Yankee right now.
It's hard not to like Gleyber. He's an impressive dude. Interesting. Yeah, we had this conversation on Sunday night. We had a group of guys talking live on YouTube, and one of the guys was making this argument that he thinks the mid 20 to young 30-year-olds who are kind of getting a little older, right? Who tire out, guys like, and I guess Pujols is a little older than that, but like guys like that who by the end of the season they're done, right? They're just not outputting anything. Mm-hmm. Those guys would be interesting because they can go all in every game. You know,
so true. It's
really interesting to see some of those power hitters that could go on a crazy run and put up 30 home runs.
And I guess pitchers, we might see more pitchers throwing longer, maybe 8-9 innings, or could see the average fastball speed go up a couple mile per hour. It's all going to be exciting. Like I'm so happy that this is happening. They came so close to blowing it. And I just hope that we can take this as an experiment and hopefully adjust the schedule moving forward, because I think the baseball schedules just puts them at such a disadvantage against some of these other sports.
For sure. Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. Well, it's funny, right? Because a lot of the buzz around right now is why the heck is Top Series 2 selling for so much, right? You still can't go get any at Walmart or Target because everyone's going and scooping them up and trying to flip them for 2X. And they're selling, right? And I think the point is there's no other products out there, and everyone wants to try to snag the rookies for this year.
Yep.
Knowing that there's a little window, a smaller window to buy and sell these guys, and it could be really fun. So
yeah, and we're seeing so many Tops 20 or Bowman 2020 start to come in, which is really great. We're really excited about it. Starting to get a bunch of Dominguez's coming in, and so should be up on the site soon. Actually,
I was just typing him in, so he's not up yet. Then okay, good to know.
Nope, no Dominguez is up yet. Should be soon. Along with some other good ones, getting a lot of older baseball players as well, 2015, 2016, 2014 rookies. We just got our first Mike Trout in. I think it was like a BGS 9.5, which was really cool.
Okay.
Aaron Judge auto, some other really cool stuff that should be going in the next couple of days or so.
Oh, that's exciting.
Really exciting. Yeah. What's been really great, is we're starting to see a lot more graded cards being sent in.
Okay.
And we're seeing like just overall a lot more high value cards being sent in. And so what we're really seeing is typically someone will send in cards. They'll kind of want to dip their toes a little bit. So they'll send us some of their lower end stuff. Typically they see how fast it sells. and then they create a second submission and they sent us a little bit more high end stuff. And by the time we're on submission like 3, 4, and 5 for a handful of users, and these cards are just unbelievable. We put up a LeBron Topps Chrome yesterday, a bunch of KD graded cards. We're getting a bunch of Zions that are coming in, and so it seems like people are starting to really pull out the big guns and send them in.
Oh, that's exciting. That is exciting. So what's the highest price card that you've seen sell so far? You know, off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, we had a Mahomes, I think, that sold for around 800. We've had a couple of expensive Kawhis go. We've had a ton of Lukas sell. I sold a Luka Optic PSA 10 the other day. And then so we're also starting to get the National Treasures, the Impeccable, all of those checklists in. And so those are getting uploaded into the site. And so now you can find, I think someone listed a really cool card. I put it on my watch list, actually, hoping to build up some credit in my account by selling some cards to potentially buy it. But it's Damian Lillard.
I think nice.
Like around $2,000. Yeah, it's 20, really, 20 really grand. Cool. Yes, what you can do is you can sort by the highest price on the right side. And so we put this out about a week and a half ago. And so you can sort by new arrivals, which is one of my favorites, actually, because you can actually see cards that we just uploaded to the site even before they're listed. And so a few times I've been able to get an offer in before the seller even lists the card, and they've come in and just accepted my offer right off the bat. And so that's kind of a good way to get some access to people. Yeah. And then latest listings is also a good one because those are the most recently listed cards. And so those are typically the two places I go when I wake up in the morning to see like what's on and what I could potentially buy. But if you go to highest listing price, you can kind of see a lot of the higher end cards.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I was sorting that way. I realized you had a new arrivals. I didn't realize that was before they even listed, which is really cool.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. You can get some steals there.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So how fast are you expanding what you accept? Cause I see right now, right, this Lonnie Walker Emergent, and I know it's an insert set in Prism. I didn't think you accepted those, but I guess I could be wrong. Are you expanding things as you're going about this, or?
So we're sticking with our sets that we accept.
Okay.
For basketball and football, it's Prism Optic Select, okay. Donruss basketball. We cover NBA hoops. But within there, we are accepting the inserts. I know you and I, like we spoke right around when we were launching, and I was kind of telling you, look, we're not fully sure what we want to do about this, but what we're finding is the inserts are selling. People like, you know, we haven't seen many of them be like requested to ship home. It seems like most people don't really necessarily care about getting the possession of them, which is kind of great. This was our thesis. But at the end of the day, they want to have some skin in the game on like a Zion. And so maybe they'll buy 25 $3 inserts instead of buying a $75 card. And then the other thing too is we're at the infant stages of our collection inside the site, but we're really, you know, trying to put a focus on making it fun to fill your gaps in there. And we have these badges that are different colors representing the parallel. And so I think that some people like the inserts because they look really cool and they have cool designs.
Very interesting. Okay. That is neat. I love the badges, by the way. It's brilliant, right? That helps you quickly identify stuff. And even when you look at your own collection, it's like, okay, I'm pretty diverse. This is nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, you know, we're testing out different things. You know, here, like our team is trying to test different collection ideas on things we can do, potentially giving people, you know, rewards or badges or something when they complete the rainbow. And so I've been trying to swallow up as many of the red and yellow ones as possible. I have a bunch of the red and yellow optics. That's kind of my parallel of choice right now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I'm curious, you mentioned some people sending home. What is the percentage of people that are sending cards back? Do you know?
Yeah, I know. It's very little. It's like it's about less than 5%.
I figured as much. Yeah.
Okay. And so it's really great. Like we will send it back to you whenever you want it. But if your goal is to flip that card, then you should keep it in the vault because, that will allow you to flip it at the best time. And so you'll always be ready to sell. If the player that you have pops off, you don't really need to do much work. And so that's what most of our users are doing. And it's great because it really is exactly how we want people using the site. And it's exactly what we thought, going into this. That's what we thought, was kind of the future of sports card collecting.
That's awesome. So I'm curious if you can shed a little light to kind of what happens behind the scenes. So when someone buys a card and it sells, right? So what happens with the card behind the scenes inside of your warehouse? Has it shifted somewhere else? Has it shifted to a username? How does that work? Or what can you share?
No, just sits there. Doesn't move. We don't want to touch the cards. We want to touch them as little as possible, right? Like, okay. We want to keep them exactly how they got to us. And so there's really no need to ever go in and grab the card until it's ready to be shipped out. And so, you know, we process them here. They go into our vault and they stay there until someone requests for it to be shipped out.
I picture like the Federal Reserve, right? This massive vault that, you know, takes 7 guys to open with all these cards.
It's so much better. It's got cards in it, right?
Exactly.
10 times better than the Reserve.
Printing presses on cards, printing presses on money. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So what do you think? So when we look at kind of where the market's shifting, right? Where do you think a lot of the users are coming from for Star Stock? Is it a good percentage of maybe the typical collectors that you're seeing that are shifting from ComC or eBay? Or do you think you're getting a lot of the newer collectors, the newer money that are coming over from DFS or getting back into collecting? Where are you finding the balance there? Because I'm sure it kind of changes the way you market and message things.
Yeah, we're seeing both. I mean, really our focus right now is we want to build the best sports card marketplace there is. And so we really started the company based off our own experience buying cards other places. And, you know, we built the product based off the things that we didn't like when buying cards. And so we're really seeing a bunch of different types of customers. We're hearing from a lot of our sellers that they're pulling off their cards from eBay, pulling off their cards from other sites, and sending them all to us.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those people have been collecting for years. They're sending packages with 10,000, 15,000 cards over to us. And then there's a lot of the kind of newer people that are getting into the hobby. A lot of people that either came over from fantasy sports, as we were talking about before. A lot of people are coming in from, you know, sneaker and streetwear flipping and that kind of world. And so it's like seems like we got a mixture of all of that going on in Star Stock right now.
Absolutely. Are you 10 or 15,000 cards? I imagine that box come in. My goodness. What are you seeing with turnaround times then?
Right now, we are about 1 to 2 weeks. Some of them, you know, going faster than others.
Okay.
So basically, we request that everybody that's sending in cards fill out a form on our website. And so if you fill out the form, the turnaround time's much faster, allows us to process the cards much quicker.
Yep.
And so definitely recommend everybody who's planning on sending in cards to us, fill out the form. The more information you give us, the better as well. Helps us do, you know, process everything faster. Understanding that, you know, some people are sending in a couple thousand cards at a time. Maybe you can't list those all out or count those all up. We're not necessarily asking you to do that. But if you're sending in 10 cards, it'd be nice to know you have 10 cards. And if you take the time to tell us which ones are coming, that's even better. And so, you know, we're seeing about 1 to 2 weeks at the moment. We're really scaling that side of the business up right now. And so we're hoping to improve it. We've gotten a couple boxes that are around that 10 to 15 range. But we're starting to get some submissions from people that more are on the way. And so we're really focusing on, you know, scaling the operations up and making sure we can get these in as fast as possible. And at the very least, we want to get in at least some of your collection so you can start listing them and selling them while we're uploading the rest.
That makes sense. So I'm obviously big into optimizing and kind of figuring out how to work your day most efficiently and all that. Cause you're a busy guy. This is extremely busy for you. What do you feel like you monitor most closely? What are the metrics that mean the most to you?
I mean, sales obviously are important to see. I think the biggest thing for me has been the send-ins, the amount of cards that are being sent to us, because that's just gives us a good pulse on, you know, how many people we have on the site that are, you know, very engaged and actually want to send their cards in with us. The other thing that has been super interesting to see has been the amount of repeat send-ins. And we talked a little bit about that earlier, but about 9 out of 10 people that sent in a package during those first 2-3 weeks after we launched have already sent in more cards. And so that's really promising to see. We've had some amazing stories just in terms of people selling, you know, hundreds of cards in their first couple days or first few weeks. We had one person cash out, I won't say the exact amount, but over $10,000 in their account a few days ago. And so, like, we have a few people that are just power selling, just finding cards wherever they possibly can and sending them over to us. And it's been great that the cards sell super fast. And one of the nice things about the site is that typically it was always bittersweet when you make a sale on eBay because, you know, you made a sale and you're happy, but that's kind of when all the work starts for you. Mm. And so just getting an email that your card sold, but not needing to do anything.
Right.
That's another nice aspect.
I think it's the nicest aspect for sure for me. And this past weekend, I got probably 15 of those notifications, and I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. I didn't do a thing. I'm at a baseball tournament, and the cards are just selling, and I'm not lifting a finger. This is awesome.
Yeah. Your son's baseball tournament?
Yeah. Yeah, my son's, yeah. In the boiling heat. And they're debating now if kids should have to wear masks on the field. And I'm like, dude, it's 95 degrees. They're 20 feet from each other. If we have to wear masks in the field, we're not playing.
Oh yeah, that's tough. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. We're not talking about masks. No way. No way.
I'm curious. So what,
from a hobby standpoint, what has you most concerned? I mean, I know it's kind of this straight line up, right? It looks to be unstoppable. Sports are back. Cards are just, you know, blazing hot right now. What has you concerned or worried about this, you know, bubble potentially popping or pulling back a little bit?
I'm not all that concerned about it. Okay. I think it's inevitable that there will be some sort of like recorrection. But I'm bullish on the long term of the hobby just because it seems like the infrastructure is much better now than it was, let's say, you know, the beginning of the junk wax era. And I think that, you know, the Topps and Panini have like a pretty good grip on what's going on. And so I think that obviously, you know, some of these prices for some of the cards are outrageous. I think for the most part, they're in a lot of the sets that a lot of the, I guess lower end sets. I'm just kind of surprised seeing some of the prices in like Chronicles or Revolution or Court Kings or, you know, things like that. I'm pretty bullish on the future of Prism and Optic and Select. I think those are the most commoditized, the most collected cards. And I think that when we're looking back at these cards 20 years from now, we're going to be talking about the Zion Prism. We're going to be talking about the Zion Optic. And so I'm not all that worried about it. There might be some sort of recorrection, but I think that, you know, could be a good thing as well.
Yeah, that's a great answer. No, I'm with you for the most part. I think the infrastructure is a key component that we tend to miss, right? Back in the junk wax era, it's like you got stuck with those and you saw, you know, the Beckett values dropping, and to get rid of them, right, you had to go to a card show and hope you could unload them or go to a shop and hope they would buy them. It's a different world now. It's
totally different. Yep.
Yeah, and we're so much more statistics driven in the sports world, right? From DFS to just knowing every metric possible. Yeah, that to me is probably the bigger concern, is that prices are just moving straight up without any stats to back it. Right? It's all, well, this guy talked about this card, so let's go buy it. Well, it's like, wait, what did he do in the field? Well, nothing. But that to me will be telling, right? When you start to see bad performances. How far do cards fall? You know, of those players, that'll be interesting to watch.
Totally, couldn't agree more. I mean, to me, the way it seems like it should work, I mean, it should be really relative to what season that player's in and what they've done.
Yep.
You know, like LeBron went scoreless for the whole playoffs. You know, his card really shouldn't move all that much. So, But yeah, with these young guys, especially, there are, I think that the 3-month gap that we've had now, there are a few rookies that have definitely picked up price a little bit over the past few months, just from all the trades going on, without necessarily there being a reason for it. And so we could get to the playoffs and there could be 4 or 5 of these rookies that go back to scoring, you know, 3 to 6 points a game and kind of just, you know, cool off a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. Like we talked about earlier, that part two is us breaking down the NBA cards in a month to see what's happening. It'll be fun because you'll have thousands of new cards on Star Stock anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what's happening over the next, let's just say the next month. What are kind of the big things getting ready to roll out that we should know about? Maybe a couple things that happened in the last week or so. Get us even more excited about Star Stock.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, biggest priority for us right now is getting cards onto the site. So we're really scaling up our operations, bringing on new people to help us get these in as fast as possible. And so, you know, it's really exciting. We're starting to see higher volume cards coming in, higher valued cards as well. And so that's going to be fun to see. A few cool features that should be coming out in the next couple of weeks or so. Everybody's been asking for a way to just like filter out the graded cards, find the graded cards. And so that's something that should be out in the next couple of weeks. A couple of other things as well. We're working on giving people the ability to actually see the actual front and back photo of every single card in their collection. And so you can actually click on the card and see the front and back images, zoom in on the corners, surface area, all that stuff. And so you can really kind of, along with the categorization of Star Stock A, B, or C, you can really look into those raw cards and see the conditioning on them. And then, you know, there should be some exciting stuff that we put into my collection as well. Really want to boost that up and make it easy and fun to fill gaps and to almost use Star Stock as a checklist. And so if you're trying to see, all right, like I want to collect Victor Oladipo, I know that I can go to Star Stock, see what I have, see what I need, you know, see what's on the site and in the vault. Those are a few things.
Those are big. So I'm curious about the front and back. Does that mean you have to go back and rescan cards, or were you scanning the back anyway?
We were scanning every single card from day one.
Front and back, period.
Every single one.
Got it. Okay, cool.
And yeah, you know, we knew that we wanted to do this. It was just a matter of building it out. Okay. And so we're working on that right now. We pushed a mini version of it to the staff accounts. And so we're kind of testing it in like a little beta right now. But we're hoping that it should go live in the next few weeks or so. And I think it's going to be a game changer. I think it's going to be really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, that's everyone kind of tends to focus on that now, especially when you, and that, those are probably where the questions come from for me in the Discord channel. It's, what does Star Stock A mean? I want to see the card. I want to self if it's a Star Stock A. And I think that'll help give some cred, you know, around kind of what you guys are classifying as a Star Stock A and B. So
totally. And let people see that the graded cards are actually slabbed.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You know, part of what we want to do is like, so what we do is we take the front and back photos, but then we crop one down like perfectly so we can get that like header image inside the market. And so that's all that is. It's just our way of basically trying to create a digital version of that card. And so we don't show slabs on the graded cards because we want everything to just be uniform in that kind of format that we're using right now.
Makes sense.
And so we, you know, we're going to work on getting the graded filter in there and hope, you know, the front and back photos, which will allow people to, you know, identify those graded cards, look into them. In some cases, you know, with BGS, they, aside from the grade, they give more detail into what they graded, you know, the corners, the surface area, and all the different categories. And so some people want to take a look at that as well.
Okay. All right. Well, we have 4 minutes. I'm just going to say one thing that I think, if I was to fix one thing on Star Stock right now,
please,
I would say, give me a filter on your graphs. I want to be able to filter out and say, show me all PSA 10s and get everything else out. I know you can like move over and like highlight something. But I just, the recent cell stuff over there, when I see everything, it's like, can I have a little drop down that says, show me just star stock A's? Would be really cool. But
so,
anyway.
So I got you. Are you on the site?
Yeah. Yeah.
So click the ones that you on the top in the little square,
okay.
Click the ones that you want to disappear and they'll disappear.
Look at that.
Yep. So there you go. You got your PSA 10 chart. If you get rid of the, I'm looking at Brandon Ingram. We have PSA 9, Star Stock A, and the ungraded cards from eBay. So if I click those other three, I got the PSA 10 there.
Beautiful. Oh, gosh.
We should make that a little bit more intuitive, though. So
there you go.
Well, I'm writing it down.
Well, the millions of people that are listening, they'll know now. So
the billions of people that are listening.
Billions, yeah. The billions and Gary Vee. All right, man. So a couple questions before you leave. What new habit have you formed during COVID-19 that you think you're probably going to stick with? New routine.
Oh man. Well, I haven't been able to exercise as much because typically my exercise is usually 2-3 basketball games a week, at night. And so trying to think of new habits, I'm waking up a little bit earlier, which is great. I'm buying more cards, obviously, just like the rest of us. And so I would say that's a good habit as well.
Okay. All right. Fair, fair.
What about you? Any inspiration you can give me?
Running, man. I mentioned running with my kids. We just picked up running and biking together. We did not do that before. It was, I would do it myself. And now it's like, I've integrated my kids into it and it's changed things a lot. It's become a great time to hang out.
And who's got to keep up with who?
Well, my oldest is pretty good. My 12-year-old, he runs a 2 mile pretty quick, and we're trailing him. But I'm always staying back with the 10-year-old. And it's all motivated to get better at baseball, right? They want to get better at baseball. So, hey, Dad, help me train. That's the mindset. So it's cool.
That's me. And that's the dream, right?
That's it. That's it.
That's amazing.
Favorite old movie that you got to rewatch again during COVID-19 or show?
Well, you know what? I actually, my friend told me that he was rewatching it. So I started rewatching Entourage a couple days ago. I only watched an episode or two episodes, one each day. And so that's a good one that I haven't watched in a long time. I watched Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell, like
how many IQ
two, 3 weeks ago. And that's a classic. Like I love that movie. That's about it. I don't watch all that much TV, to be honest, other than sports. And so
you don't have time. You're taking care of our cars and star stock.
Yep. That's exactly it.
All right. I know people don't travel anymore, but when they do travel again and they go to New York and it's someone for the first time, what restaurant do they have to go to in New York City?
Oof, in New York City. Well, we're based in Westchester, so I'm going to choose a place in Westchester. I'm going to go with Sal's Pizza.
Okay.
You got to come. You can come check out where we're at. Star Stock. Get yourself a Sicilian slice at Sal's.
And go see, grab a piece of pizza and go see all the elves working at Star Stock. Sounds like a great day.
Yep.
Do I need to cut the stuff out about the elves? Is that,
no.
Does that offend anybody? Okay. All right.
It doesn't offend me. No.
Okay. Nice.
Might offend them, though.
I'll tell them
not to listen.
That's right. Don't listen. Don't listen. It's impossible. All right. Starstock.com. Register with the code Breaker Culture to get a free Gleyber Torres card. And that's it, right?
I'm
kidding. No, go read. Most listeners have already signed up. Guarantee you.
I hope so. Definitely sign up. You know, if you have any feedback or, you know, anything that you want to chat through, a lot of people have questions. It's a pretty new concept. You know, feel free to reach out me personally at scott@starstock.com. We love the feedback. And so many times we've gotten, you know, maybe the same piece of feedback emailed to us twice in a day, 3 times in a day, and we'll push that straight to the top of our product board. And so, you know, it's really useful to be hearing from you guys.
Awesome. Good stuff. You're doing an amazing job, man. I can't wait to keep using more of Star Stock. So good stuff. We'll see you next month.
Appreciate it. Yeah, excited to come back. I feel like we still got a lot to talk about.
We do. All right, man. You're gonna make your next meeting 1 minute late.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
All right, man. We'll see you.
See you later.